Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tata Consumer Products Q1 FY22 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Menon.
Hi everyone. It's an absolute pleasure at ICICI for us to host the Q1 FY22 results conference call of Tata Consumer Products Limited. The company is represented today by Mr. Sunil D'Souza, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. L. Krishnakumar, Executive Director and Group CFO, Mr. Ajit Krishnakumar, COO, Ms. Nidhi Verma, Head Investor Relations and Communication. Having covered the Tata Consumer stock over the last 14 years, this analyst and ICICI, we continue to have a constructive view. Over to the management for the opening remarks and the Q&A after that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Manoj, for hosting us, and hi everyone, and welcome to the call. Hope all of you are keeping safe and doing well. In terms of the format for today's call, we will spend about 15-20 minutes giving you key updates and highlights of the quarter, and then reserve more time to answer your questions. So without further ado, I would now like to hand it over to Sunil. Sunil, over to you.
Thanks, Nidhi. I'd just like to add to what Nidhi said. So compared to our earlier calls, you would see two differences coming up. Number one is the timing of the call. We've got feedback from various quarters saying we were not giving enough time to people to digest the numbers and the disclosures before the call, and therefore they would like more time so that they can ask more questions. So that's why, while we were ready with our results yesterday evening, we've chosen to have this call around noon today so that all of you get time to go through, understand the details so that we can get into questions. That's number one. Number two is we've already uploaded the deck, so we would want to spend time only on a few pages giving you the highlights so that, again, we reserve more time for Q&A in line with the feedback that we've got from various quarters. With that, I will go straight over to the executive summary. All in all, I would say we've turned in a decent performance for the quarter. Our consolidated revenue grew 11% year-on-year despite a challenging operating environment and a very high base. Now, just to put it in perspective, we are cycling a quarter of last year where revenue grew by 13% and EBIT grew by 43%. So on that 13%, we have still grown 11%, and this is despite a severe second wave of COVID. The India business has performed very well, while international markets, as expected, saw a decline owing to pantry loading in the base quarter. Overall, India business grew by 25%, India beverages up by 23% with a 3% volume growth, while India foods continued its strong momentum of a 20% revenue with a 17% volume growth. International business, which had shown very strong results last year, both in terms of top line as well as bottom line because of reduced promotional and A&P expenses, this time around declined 13% with an underlying decline of 16% because, remember, we have also divested certain businesses which are sitting in our base, namely MAP Coffee as well as Empirical. The EBITDA margin for the quarter was 13.4%, sequentially up quarter-on-quarter by 300 basis points but down by 452 basis points, driven by A&P investments in the India business as well as last year tea costs versus this year. There is a significant difference, and that has impacted the bottom line. Now, the group net profit declined 42% year-on-year, however, adjusted for exceptional items because last year we had a one-time gain of about 84 crores on account of the NourishCo transaction that we have done, while there was an offset of about 21 crores in terms of restructuring expenses that we had taken. Net-net, 63 crores was sitting in the base. We don't have that. If I adjust it for exceptional items, we've declined 27%. We continue to invest behind our brands to drive long-term growth. So we are close to a 50% increase in A&P in India this year, in this quarter, in line with the commitments that we have made in terms of strengthening our brands. And we gained market share in both the core categories of tea and salt in India. The tea market share was up by 170 basis points, and salt, where we are number one by far, we continued to go from strength to strength, and our market share was up by 370 basis points. We now have a fully harmonized pan-India distribution system. There were a few pockets where we had still not touched it in line with what we had done last September, whereas during this quarter, we have taken those on, and now the entire country is harmonized on one system. And in line with the commitment that we had made of completing the Soulfull integration within 100 days, well on track to achieve that. In addition, we continue to streamline operation and drive synergies, and this is driving synergies beyond what we've committed. We had committed 100 to 150 crores of synergies in 18 to 24 months when we did the integration of the food and beverage business. Having completed 18 months, we are well ahead on the 100 crores bottom of the guidance that we have given, and well on track to achieve both on in terms of quantum as well as in time on the 150 crores. On top of that, we are constantly looking for synergies, including network optimization in India. In addition, we have started an exercise on simplifying the international business, but more of that because that's right now work in process. If I go down to performance overview and go straight down to group performance, key businesses for Q1 FY22. India business, 1,267 crores, volume up 3, revenue up 28. India foods, volume, strong volume growth of 17, revenue growth of 20. In this 17, very strong volume growth by salt. Sampann, overall top line growth of 12%, but remember it was cycling a very, very strong base of about 50 last year. CAGR still 30% plus. US coffee and international tea, both of which saw strong pantry loading last year in the same quarter, decline both in volume and revenue, but shares fairly stable. Tata Coffee had a fairly decent quarter. Volume was negative 6, primarily driven by plantations, tea and coffee. But all other businesses of pepper, extractions, etc. have performed very well on the volume and revenue front. Overall consolidated, 3,008 crores, 11% revenue growth for the quarter. If I move on to overall group performance, I talked about the 3,008 crores up by 11%. EBITDA 403 crores negative 17 versus same quarter last year. Margin at 13.5 down by 452 basis points. PBT at 342 crores down 22% at 11.3% margin. Group net profits at 200 negative 42 margin of 6.7%. And despite the fact that we have paid out more dividend this year than what we had last year, we're still sitting on 2,169 crores of net cash. If I move on to the strategic priorities and talk a bit about where we are, just to give you some snapshots of where we are, in terms of strengthening and accelerating core businesses, our outlets. Just one slide back, yeah. So I'll just talk about the details out here. We had made a commitment on expanding our outlets, where we had started from 500,000 outlets. We had said by September of this year, we should be at 1 million. We've ended the quarter at 820,000 outlets, well on track to reach the 1 million target that we have set. On top of that, we've started our rural expansion. As I mentioned in our earlier call, we had tripled the number of feet on street on rural, and we're targeting to expand rural distributors. We've already added 3,000 distributors. On strengthening and accelerating core, the big thing is to build brands. And as I mentioned to you, our A&P in India this quarter is up by 50% year-on-year, and you will see that trend continuing as we move forward. Our tea market share, which is the result of strengthening and accelerating core, is up by 170 basis points. Salt market share up by 370 basis points. Drive digital and innovation. We formulated our digital strategy. We formulated a new digital structure to make sure we are driving both efficiency and effectiveness, and we have started to put it in place. All in all, as I've mentioned in an earlier call, our entire plumbing, if I may, whether it is from a common data lake to a DMS and SFA system, a new ERP system, a new integrated business planning system, and a new analytics platform, all of that in place. On the innovation side, this quarter, we've had several launches, including a Super Light in the salt business, 30% reduced salt. We're the only ones in the market with that. We've launched Chakra Gold Care. We've just about launching 8 O'Clock Coffee out here, and we've expanded our Sampann range. In terms of unlocking synergies, I talked to you about delivering the 100-150 crores of numbers, but on top of that, results per se, our working capital is down by 2 days versus the same quarter last year. So efficient working capital management, and if you adjust for some timing differences versus last year, we have continued to deliver 101% of EBITDA into cash this year. Future-ready organization, all the capabilities that we are building in terms of whether it is digital, revenue growth management, e-commerce, the entire organizations are in play, and now, A, we're building out the teams, and B, making sure they've got the tools to drive opportunities as they come forward. Exploring new opportunities organically, we have just launched on our D2C journeys, and while we started with Tata Coffee Sonnets, we have now launched 1868 Tea, which is a range of curated teas, premium curated teas, and just about stepping out into 8 O'Clock. And lastly, embedding sustainability. We have made several strides, including featuring among the top three FMCG companies in the recently released CRISIL sustainability metrics. With that, I will just go straight to a macro and commodity overview to just give you a perspective of where margins are headed, because the one question on everyone's mind is, what is tea prices doing to your overall business? So if you see the middle of the slide, that shows you how tea pricing has moved, and I'll urge you to stay in the dark blue line in the middle of the chart. Q2 last year was the peak of tea prices as we came out of the lockdown and a bit of flooding in northern India. From there on, tea prices have started to ease, and you would see that reflected in our business, because in the India beverage business, if you look at gross margins, Q3 last year was the bottom. From there, from 19, we moved to 21 and sequentially moved to 26, and you could expect to see this graph going upwards. Now, from Q4 2021, we did see a bit of an uptick into Q1 FY22. That's primarily the result of two things happening. One is there was a bit of a drought scare in Assam and North India, more I would say in Assam than in Dwars. That caused a bit of an uptick, but apart from that, I think the second wave and the lockdowns which happened, people were highly, I would say, tense about the fact that the scenario, what happened a year back with lockdowns, 50% working, reduction in crop, etc., would repeat, and that is why there was an uptick. That said, from where we saw June end, we are seeing about 20-30 rupees coming up already as we speak, and we do expect to see tea prices stabilize, sort of normalize as we go forward. in conjunction with the fact that over the last 1 year, looking at tea costs, we have taken up our prices up, making sure that we are maintaining consumer elasticity, competitive positioning, making sure we are not compromising on momentum or growth. I would say margins on the upward trend, and you could see them coming back strongly in a quarter or two. Coffee prices, on the other side, you are seeing an uptrend, and the spike is probably got exaggerated in the last 10 days or so, as the initial spike was caused by a bit of drought-like conditions in Brazil, but about 10 days back, there was frost on one of the days, and people were highly skeptical about both short-term and long-term coffee output, and that's why prices went up. Two impacts on us, positive for the Tata Coffee side, and possibly could have an impact on our 8 O'Clock business, but fortunately, 8 O'Clock, we are more or less hedged for our entire commodity input for FY 2022. With that, I will move on and ask LK to walk you through the financial piece.
Yeah, thanks, Sunil, and good afternoon, everyone. I'll just take you through highlights, and I'm on slide number 37 for those of you who have the deck. It's coming up in a minute. Yeah. So starting with standalone revenue for the quarter at 1,966 crores, an increase of 22% over the same period in the previous year. Strong performance both in beverages and foods. India beverages grew by 28%, of which volume growth was about 3%. India foods grew by 20% with about 17% volume growth. So notwithstanding that we had a very difficult quarter, and particularly the month of May, we saw a good bounce back in June, and we are seeing a good trajectory in July. Looking on consolidated revenues, up 3,008 crores, up by 11%. The growth rate is lower than what we saw in standalone because the international business declined by 13%. A combination of the fact that the previous year had a lot of pantry loading, which is not repeated, plus also due to the fact that we exited some business which we had in the same period last year, which was the empirical food service business. Commenting on the EBITDA for the quarter in the standalone business is 274 crores, down by 16%, largely a function of tea costs, which we talked about. Fortunately, we are seeing some respite in tea costs, and hopefully the following quarter should be better. In addition, we've had a fair amount of increase in advertising spend during the quarter, because of which the profitability is lower. Similar trend on lower profitability in the consolidated result, 403 crores EBITDA versus 486. So in addition to the point we made on India, it was the impact of lower sales in international business, which has resulted in a drop in EBITDA. Moving on to the next slide, it's just the standalone and consolidated results that we have released. Some highlights from the SEBI format. The point that I want to make here is the EBIT margin, especially in consolidated at 11.2%, is higher than what we saw in the previous quarter. While it is lower than the 15.6% we saw the same period last year, there is clearly an improving trend, which I want to call out. In the standalone results, you will notice that while EBIT has been lower at 239 crores versus 296 crores, PBT and PAT are higher than the same period last year. That's primarily because of dividend inflow. In the previous year, we had record performance of our international businesses, and we chose to bring back some cash into India in the form of dividends. So that's the big reason why you have an improved bottom line, notwithstanding that operating performance is somewhat lower. Moving to segment-wise performance, in terms of segment revenue, we saw India beverages 28%, of which we said volume is 3%. India foods 20% growth, volume is 17% in that. International business, as I just explained, because of pantry loading, the previous quarter was exceptional, which is not repeated. Non-branded business grew by 5% in the quarter, driven largely by the extraction business performance. Commenting on the segment results, the decline from 212 to 151 in the case of beverages is a function of the tea cost escalation that we spoke about, plus some increase in advertising expenditure. India Foods lower at 96 versus 115. Want to make a couple of observations here. The first quarter last year was before we started restructuring, and we did a fair amount of change in the structures, and we've also invested for future growth of the foods business, all of which happened in subsequent quarters. Secondly, in the current quarter, there is an increase in advertising, plus there is also investment behind the Soulful brand. So we need to keep this in mind when we compare. The other comment that I want to make is the 96 crores of profit in quarter one FY22 is higher than what you saw for the foods business in quarter four of last year. So overall, there is good revenue growth and improving profitability. There is some amount of dampener on profitability ratios because of investment. International beverages lower segment results because of what we saw, primarily due to lower turnover. So net operating segment total EBIT is 336 crores versus 499 crores of last year. Commenting on the proportion of different parts of the business, India beverages 46%, India foods 26%, and international 28%. So India is now 72% of the total revenue. If you look at the segment results, mirroring a similar trend, not very different, 72% of the profits come from India and 28% from the international business. So with that, I think we are concluding the presentation. So over to you to respond to questions that you have.
Yeah, I just take a brief thing on the outlook per se. So while I said we had a decent quarter, and this is in light of the second wave of COVID in India now receding. So we had, for those of you who've been through the deck, we've shown our numbers month on month indexed. So May saw a significant dip, and June has come back, and July has come back stronger than June. International markets, US, UK, Canada are now seeing a return to pre-COVID demand trends. So again, we saw a dip during the quarter, and all the three markets seem to be coming back to normalcy right now. US and UK slightly ahead of Canada in coming back to the normal phase. In terms of business, we are very clearly focused on accelerating the momentum in our business. India beverages, we talked about moderation of tea costs, and we will stay focused on competitive and profitable growth. We will continue distribution expansion and innovation. We had held that back during the second wave because we saw execution issues, but now we will start with our innovation launches very quickly. We do see significant improvement in Starbucks and further acceleration in NourishCo. Just as a perspective, NourishCo, despite the second wave, grew by 90% in revenue terms, and Starbucks was some 350% plus, because by now the team has learned how to tackle the lockdowns, drive delivery, and maximize sales in a constrained environment. The international business, we will see resumption, normalization of in-home consumption, and we will continue to focus on our focus on the growing categories of non-black tea and drive innovations in coffee and tea. With that, I would request for questions. So Nidhi, Manoj, up to you.
Thanks, Sunil. So, moderator, perhaps you can take the questions from the Q&A queue, please.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants connected on the webcast may type their questions on the chat box appearing at the bottom and click submit. Participants on audio may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may please press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Abneesh from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks and congrats on the volume growth. My first question is on salt. So you have reported 20% value growth. So I want to understand what is the volume growth. And how is the market share behaving in the mass end? Because you have said 34% growth in the premium. So I want to understand the 240% gain in market share. Is it primarily because of the premium growing fast, or even in mass end you have gaining share? And from which place are you gaining share?
So thanks, Abneesh. I would say significant amount has come from volume and not in value in the overall top line growth for salt. That's number one. Because salt, I think, A, we are gaining by distribution, better execution, and making sure our supply chains are much more efficient. That's number one. On the premium salt is still a small portion of the portfolio, Abneesh, but the whole objective is it is significantly accretive to the P&L, number one. And number two, does great things both from a brand image perspective as well as a future growth perspective. And that's why we are focused on that. So 34%, incidentally, I would just like to, the single biggest item in the premium salt for us, and that is we had held it back till the second wave got over, which was the Super Light, which is the 30% reduced sodium. We've just launched that. So you could see this 34% holding slash accelerating as we go forward.
And one follow-up, are you giving the mix of mass and premium salt?
We have not given the mix of mass and premium, but you could touch base with Nidhi and she can give you some more color on that piece.
Last question on Sampann. Q4 was disappointing and there is a recovery here. But on this small base, 30% CAGR over 2 years, are you happy with that? And within Sampann, there are multiple products. So which ones are doing the best? So for example, poha, pulses, spices, or anything ready to cook, etc. Which ones are you the most confident?
So Abneesh, I said this earlier, 30% is not a good enough benchmark for us. Our ambition is much higher and we are working towards that. In terms of, so we would target very aggressive numbers in Sampann as we go forward. That's point number one. Point number two, if you look at the overall segments which we play in, I think pulses, poha, spices and probably mixes in that order is the scale of the different categories per se. But the biggest traction in terms of growth we are seeing in poha, followed by pulses and followed by spices. Mixes is still a relatively smaller segment per se, so I wouldn't comment on growth because it's a very small base. That said, I think, like I said, Sampann across the portfolio work to do to make sure we are accelerating the entire Sampann top line.
Okay, that's all from my side. That's quite helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Kumar Doshi from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon. I've got two questions. The first one is, see, tea commodity prices are down about 20% from the last year's peak, but it's still up about 50-70 rupees per kg versus the year before. So if the prices remain at current level, would you be able to recover profitability? And you mentioned about recovery and profitability over the next two quarters. So were you referring to recovery of on an EBITDA per ton basis? Or do you think that at EBITDA margin perspective also you can get back to that 16-17% margins where tea business used to, generate?
So let me give you a few data points before I get to answering the specific. Number one is while we are seeing prices coming down, they are still significantly above where we started in say 2000 and calendar year 2019. And we do think that as we go forward, we will... While they will settle down, they will still be higher than where they are in 2019. Now, where they will settle, your guess is as good as mine because there will be several twists and turns on the road as we go forward. That's number one. Number two, while we have taken pricing in tea over the last 12 to 15 months or so, we have taken it in different spots, making sure that we are remaining competitive both from a consumer perspective as well as from a competition and therefore market share perspective. That said, we have not translated the entire cost increase on tea into pricing. So there is still a gap. And therefore, when the tea cost comes down, we do expect a margin expansion. Now, when we are talking about margins, we are talking of percentage margins per se, and not absolute margin, but absolute margins depends on where the tea prices finally settle. But in percentage terms, I would say in a quarter or two, you would see us coming back to normal levels.
And that is 2020 levels, 1920 levels.
Thereabouts, yes.
That is very helpful. And my second question is, you now have three brands in coffee, you know, Tata Grand Coffee, Sonnet, 8 o'clock, or 8 o'clock. So what is your strategy for coffee business in India? And if you can, you also mentioned about, you know, that a lot of innovations are underway. So would like to hear your thoughts on, you know, where do you see this business and your broad strategy?
So before I answer that, let me give you the landscape of the coffee market in India. The big coffee market in India is in the instant coffee business. And there is a smaller play in the whole beans and the roast and ground, etc., etc. Therefore, all the brands that we have launched so far have a distinct role to play in the different categories. Tata Coffee Grand primarily plays in the instant coffee space and is going after the roughly 2,500 crore market out there. We've got a small share. But given the distribution that we have, given the coffee expertise that we have, given the Tata Coffee brand name per se, we do think we can get to a high single digit, low double digit market share per se. Long way to go, but we've started the journey. That's point number one. Point number two, both Tata Coffee Sonnets and 8 o'clock coffee are targeted at a premium consumer. The consumer who's looking for very specific origin and micro lots is what Tata Sonnets addresses, whereas there is a consumer who is more in tune with the international trends and looking for a premium coffee from the international space. That is where 8 o'clock coffee comes in. Both Tata Coffee Sonnets and 8 o'clock, because they are premium and not as much scale as Tata Coffee Grand, we have right now gone with the online model. We are testing out the waters. We will see where it goes. We are learning the D2C space. First of all, we'll fine-tune that. And if we find that it has legs, then you'll probably see us slowly expanding into the offline space. But that is if and when at a later date. So very clearly, three different brands focused on three different segments executed differently.
That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arnab Mitra from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my question. So my question was on this volume growth slowdown you've seen in this quarter. What we've seen in most other companies is wherever the end demand has not been impacted, let's say something like a skincare or ice cream, we've seen the May impact being made up in June, and most companies have had a normalized volume growth in the quarter. So any reason why you would think your business got more impacted, especially tea? Because what I see is the dip in May was a lot more in packaged tea rather than in foods. And is there any chance that the very high price increases that have been taken in tea are starting to impact the demand at the, you know, slightly mid to premium price segment? So just wanted your thoughts on that.
So thanks. So number one, I would say, the cost of tea in the end cup of tea, the total price, this thing is actually insignificant. So while the prices have gone up significantly, I'm not sure that has a direct bearing on the volume that you see. That's number one. Number two, I think it is primarily the result of lockdowns. If I just point out to May is when the dip happened and June started coming back. Now, not the entire country did not unlock in June. Especially some of the southern states held on to their lockdowns till I think about the third week of June, and very stringent lockdowns. And in tea, remember, a significant portion of consumption happens out of home, either in the tea stalls or in the restaurants, etc. Even the restaurants, etc., even after opening up, are still at a 50% capacity, so that has an impact. Like I said, June has been better than May and July has been better than June. We're just hoping that this is the start of a trend where everything comes back to normal, but keeping fingers crossed.
Okay, understood. That's very clear. And the second question was, you made a comment about potentially looking at simplifying international business as one of the future, you know, focus areas. So broadly, will this be more about, you know, cost efficiencies, profitability improvement projects, or is this more of some potential strategic review of certain businesses? Just wanted a broad thinking on that.
Let me leave you with on a strategic review basis, we do that every quarter. So there is no new news in that. And as a result of that, if you saw, we first divested Map Coffee and then we divested Empirical. So this is not an exercise. This is a one-time overall exercise to look at the entire international business and figure out where we can simplify various things that we do. this is not a strategic review per se, but you could expect the end result to be driving efficiency and effectiveness.
Okay, got it. And sir, one last question on your standalone EBITDA margins are almost back to what they were before the key commodity inflation started. If you recover your gross margins from here, would you expect ad spends to also kind of go up back to the 7-8% levels? Do you think you could end up at a significantly higher new normal of margins once you've recovered your gross margins back to the old levels? That was my last question.
So I would just leave you with one of our stated strategic objective is to strengthen our brands and make sure we are putting enough fuel behind our brands. We've already demonstrated this quarter by, despite being under pressure, we have still upped the ante in India and upwards of 50% increase on A&P. You would see that trend going up. That said, we've got our entire stakeholders, shareholders, board, everyone to manage. So we will make sure that we are delivering good top line growth, making sure that we are doing the right things to build the business for the future while delivering short term results.
Okay, thanks so much. That's it from my side. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question is on the tea prices and how the companies would respond to that. So typically, we have seen that tea is a very competitive segment. And when the tea prices come down, the smaller players or sometimes even the slightly larger players pass on the benefits to the consumer. So what is your read on the situation? Do you think anything has changed because of COVID that like the small players have fallen by the wayside and therefore you have better pricing power? Just trying to understand what gives you the confidence that if tea prices come down, there won't be a pass-through to the consumers.
So firstly, let me just say, I don't think we made a statement saying if tea prices come down, it will not be a pass-through. There will be a fine balance. There will be a pass-through. There will be some part of holdback, but I'm not trying to second-guess what will happen in the future. That's number one. Number two, we have said very, very clearly that we will strengthen both our execution as well as brands going forward. And therefore, we should be on a stronger wicket when we go out to the market. Just as a perspective, this quarter, we have gained share 170 basis points compared to last year. And please remember, this is in spite of having an intense competition. This is in spite of having the large competitors, small competitors, everyone per se. Again, the pricing actions that we have taken, it is not a one-size-fits-all. There are geographies in the country where we have dropped prices in this quarter. There are geographies in the country where we have taken prices up in the quarter. So depending on what we want to achieve market by market, we are going surgical behind it while making sure we are keeping the full portfolio in sight, not to lose the total margins and deliveries that we have to do.
Right. And while you said that you would come back very soon to the EBITDA margin, which you used to do before the inflation hit, I'm sure that that's not the end objective. I mean, even before the inflation hit, what margins you had, you would want to expand on those margins. So would you give some kind of idea as to, in the medium term, what kind of EBITDA margins you would consider reasonable for your tea business and for your salt business?
So, Percy, I'll just leave you with, we've got more internal pressure to deliver good profitability than outside pressure, right? So we will continue to make sure that we're delivering top-notch results. Like I said, I've always made this statement, and we will make sure that we're gaining market share, driving strong double-digit top line, keeping costs very, very tight, and making sure that there is a flow through on the bottom line. So as we get to scale and keep our fixed costs constant, you should start seeing the shape of the P&L come back very strongly.
Right, sir. And my last question is that in terms of the growth of the India tea business and the market share gain, which would you say are your sort of top performing or best growing states in India?
So ideally, the larger states is where you should grow to make the biggest impact. So this is scattered across the place. Most of the southern states, and some of the northern states are the big picture, apart from a few in the west. That said, we've got a very clear state-by-state objective, state-by-state strategy, including which brand to play in what state at what pricing, to make sure that when we put the whole picture together, we're landing up on top.
Right, sir. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question pertains to cost synergies and other expenses. So last four quarters since inflation started or hyperinflation started, we did very well to absorb GM pressure at the EBITDA level. But last two quarters, that element is missing. And you had called out that there was some one-off cost in last quarters, other expenses or employee both, because of some integration and capability building costs. So just wanted to understand on that line item in particular.
If you're looking at employee cost per se, you would see last quarter to this quarter it is broadly constant, and this is despite the fact that we've given salary increases, etc., and built extra capability to boot. But I'll ask LK to come in and comment.
I think you should just, you know, there are different elements if you look at quarter to quarter. Overall, the message, I think I made the point, is that the margin, right, at 11.3, I think are better than where we ended on a consolidated basis last year. Right, and that is what I think should be the focus, because the shape of things would change from quarter to quarter.
And if I can just add, please separate out the synergies piece and the investment piece.
And the point I made last quarter was also that there is, when you look at quarter to quarter, there are some costs which you have to account in the quarter, but it's not a balancing with revenue and other things in the same quarter, right? So that's the point I was trying to make when we talk about employee costs. You know, that we have, if you take employee costs as an example, right, we may have increased people in certain functions, but that in that quarter we've recruited, so there is an increase. So that doesn't mean that you're going to compare it with revenue and percentage and the quarter to quarter. Some of the benefits, as we build infrastructure, we increase sales force, we invest in IT, these are all costs sometimes because we do a particular study in a quarter, we come in that quarter. That's the point, and this is all coming under the other expenditure category that we've talked about. So don't compare that.
Got it. Got it. Thanks. So my next question pertains to recent changes in the leadership team. And pardon my ignorance here, but most of the changes shared in on PPT are also are mostly replacement, except Mr. T.V. Swaminathan, Global Digital Officer. So just wanted to understand, what is the digital roadmap for the company, and is it largely internal efficiency led, or you want to expand the same in form of online direct to reach consumers, that kind of initiative as well?
So digital actually is all encompassing. It is not only just driving efficiency within the company. Like I said, we've right now finished laying out the base plumbing in terms of an ERP system, business planning